who are LFO analysts, and we've been meeting with them to walk through all of the changes. While the amount is only 2.4 of the aggregate of these, I wanted to make sure that we took some time to look at some of the larger changes in the policy option price package pricing. And to that extent, I prepared this document, which the legal size document, which kind of shows you the policy packages that have changed or are proposing some changing in pricing. You can see along the left side is the package number and descriptor, and then a brief explanation of the adjustment, and then what the pricing of the package was in the governor's recommended budget in that first set of columns in the middle of numbers. And then to the right of that, what the adjusted amount will be with these adjustments and corrections that we're proposing. And I wanted to just walk through this and to some of the larger ones and point out some issues. And I'll start with the first one, 101-1, child care improvement packages. And what we're adjusting here is actually two issues. The first issue is related to the caseload change of our latest forecast, which was a decline or reduction in forecasted clients, actually reduced the package by about $900,000 of general fund. However, there was an issue that we had to deal with in this one that increased the pricing of this package, and that was when it was initially designed, we were focusing on child care rates for employment-related daycare clients and omitted the fact that the jobs clients also will use these same rates. And so we did not include the increase in cost for the job clients increasing those rates as well. And in doing so, that actually adds to the cost of this package by about $5.8 million in general fund. So the aggregate of those two adjustments is what we're adjusting in this policy package. The next item, also in CAF, is the TANF reauthorization package. And this one has a similar issue with the first one. It also relates to the child care rates increasing, and in this package we anticipated an increase in the number of ERDC clients from the expanded services and did include an increase cost for the those clients at the new rate. Again, the jobs clients were not included in this. To correct that, we needed to add about $1.6 million of general fund. The bigger piece of this adjustment, though, relates to funding. And we had originally assumed in this package that we would receive additional child care development funds that were notified to us through the Deficit Reduction Act that there would be an increase in these funding, this funding of about $5.5 million. You probably realize those funds flow through the Employment Department as federal funds and then come to DHS as other funds. Unfortunately, the Employment Department wasn't aware that those additional funds were intended for Department of Human Services and built them into their budget for 07-09, and they're no longer available in this budget. So what this adjustment does is backfill the CCDF funds with general fund to keep this package priced at what it needs to be.
Now, a question for Senator Bordello?
Thank you very much. Can you relate the explanation of the adjustment for both of the packages 101-1 and 101-4 to the co-chair's budget?
Chair Carter and Senator Gordon, I believe, and I don't have that information from me, but I believe the co-chair's budget reduced this package by $13 million. $13 million general fund.
Totally.
But that's not reflected here. This is still to the governor's recommended budget.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just trying to keep the bigger picture in front of me as we're looking at it.
Ms. Baker would like to shed a little light for the question you asked, Ms. Baker.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Senator Gorley, yes, to confirm on the child care improvements package, the co-chair's budget, there are three elements to that package. The largest one is the rate increase, and the co-chairs initially funded half of what was in the governor's budget for that. So they funded $13 million out of the 26. Now, the discussion with the reshoot amount with the corrections there is that the co-chairs will still reflect, at this point, a $13 million reduction in the total cost of that package, not necessarily half of the changed increased cost, but just a $13 million reduction.
Okay.
And then on the TANF reauthorization package, as John gets through those, basically what the co-chair's budget funded was what was in the governor's budget for those pieces. And so we would expect that that would continue as we're working on the final budget numbers, that the adjusted numbers would be what's included in the final budget.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Question about... It's concerning to me that there wasn't better communication with the Employment Department about the child care dollars. What is the Employment Department doing with the $5.5 million in additional CCDF? And is that already... I'm just wondering, do you know what they're doing with that?
Senator Carter and Representative Kotick, I don't know. Perhaps our analyst might could answer that.
We can get that information and get it.
Thank you. I assume it's already, their budget has been passed, or at least so.
Mr. Moore, any input from you?
Madam Chair, Representative Kotek, for the record, Eric Moore, Budget Management. The additional DRA dollars have been built in to both budgets, and as far as the increase goes, there was a bit of a miscommunication on the total dollar amount. So the original dollar amount that was anticipated has been built in. As far as details on how the Employment Department is spending those dollars, outside of the normal program expenditures that they have, I would have to inquire further and get back to you if you're looking for more detail.
Thank you, Eric.
Before you make a follow-up, I think it is very, very important, especially for them, that when the legislature, that those kinds of questions needs to be answered, maybe a little more communication from them to you on these kinds of questions would be very helpful for us. No negative reflection at this point, but I'm just talking about for the future. Because I think that that's a very good question when communications break down like that as to why. I think the legislature is going to always ask, what is the problem?
And Senator Carter, Chair Carter, we actually had that very discussion with DHS and Employment about 2 weeks ago in preparation for future budget planning.
Great, I appreciate that so much.
Comment.
Thank you. And before Representative Kotick, you go back, I think Ms. Baker wanted to make a comment on that question.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. It's my understanding that that basically the $5.8 million is not being allocated for anything in particular or separate from the normal allocation. The way the Employment Department allocates the Child Care and Development Funds is according to a statewide plan in terms of who gets the money. Department of Human Services gets the lion's share of it for its rate subsidies, but there are other elements, local resource and referral agencies, for example, that get a piece of it. So I believe that it's just allocated out according to that plan, and that it's not a separate pot of money identified for separate use the way that the governor's budget for DHS originally anticipated that it would be.
Did that get to your question?
Actually, it did. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Further questions, Ms. Kutcher?
No, that's it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next package, larger package, I wanted to point out is on page 2 at the top there, 101-9. That was the package that funded an increase in caseload into the TANF programs because those weren't considered mandatory programs in the base budget or in the essential budget level. With the new forecast, the latest forecast that we have, those caseload have declined and there's no longer need to request this package. Those basically have declined below the need for the package. So it's been basically removed from the list. The next one is 101-14 is the Citizen Alien Waiver Emergency Medical Program. And basically what this is doing is...
Let's go back just for a minute. Are there any questions on 101-9? Let's go to...
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly, it strikes me as odd that the TADVS caseload is going down. Any sense of why that is?
Chair Carter's... Representative Kotek, I don't have that information running. I can get that from Judy Moore Peterson, I can get an answer for you for that.
That would be helpful. I just know that it's a set of services that sometimes there are barriers to getting, but I don't think we've had a decrease in domestic violence per se, and so just curious about that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I was too. That's why I asked if there were any questions along those lines, because that's not what I'm hearing. I know in my community in terms of the numbers going down. Okay. Thank you.
Again, on 101-14, this is basically adjusting the federal fund limitation for this package. It was basically initially just incorrectly priced to fund 100% coverage of the state, and it's been adjusted to the correct federal funding mix, which is a mix of Title 19 and Title 21 CHIP that would apply for this program. And with the funding as it is here reflected, would cover about 68% of the state with this package pricing. Now, the other funds are funds from the counties, the county funding. So it's just adjusting the federal limitation for that one. The next item that I have point out here is on page 3, and it's 102-28, the AAA 95% equity package. And basically what we found is through further analysis of the initial pricing of this policy package last fall, based on information that we had at the time and some estimates of what equity would be, is that it actually can be achieved at less funding than we have in the policy package. And so this is actually reducing the amount of the policy package, but the amount remaining in our budget would provide 95% equity for the AAAs.
I just want to make sure Senator Marsette sees and hear that.
Not quite at 100%.
Not quite.
95.
Next session, we'll work for
you. You know, they always want more.
I know.
Thank you.
Story of our life.
The next larger one I highlight here is on page 4, is 103-32, and it's additional savings that we anticipate from the preferred drug list prior authorization policy package, and it's basically related to the latest cost of case costs that we have in our April forecast, and cost per cases have increased. So with that increasing the base, this package will actually save us a little bit more now. We are adjusting for that. And then the other one, the last one that I've highlighted here is on page 5, is 104-44, the Harmon Settlement case, the Harmon Settlement federal lawsuit case. And basically what we did here was too aggressive in the placement of positions into this one in terms of timing. It will take longer to ramp this up than we anticipated. We had positions coming online, all the positions, about the first quarter of the year, or second quarter of the year, or the biennium, and we basically have phased them in on a more realistic time frame. Reduces the FTE count and the cost of the policy package. There is also a correction of some of the placement costs for this one as well. Again, those are the larger ones that I've highlighted. There are others on this page that provide some detail in terms of what we're adjusting here. Overall, again, the total of this is about a $2.4 million general fund increase in adjusting all of these packages.
Questions? Thank you.
We'll continue on the summary display here, page 10 of 13. This is something that we talked about briefly Thursday, and this was a slight change in our federal medical assistance percentage rate, our FMAP rate, which you've heard about. It changed from 0.6089 to 0.6085, 4/100ths of a percentage, which increased our need for general fund by about $1.9 million. So you can see why a half a percent would be significant that we talked about here. I just wanted to point this one out. It's not a significant amount in terms of relativity, but we have talked about this one before. The next item relates to our OSH capital construction budget, and it's on page 11 of 13. And we actually have adjusted this package down from what the original pricing of it was. And that also will reduce our cost of issuance and debt service costs on the first line there in the administrative budget. So you can see in the explanation there talks about reduction in cost of some land, but increased or faster use of cost for construction and manager general contract of the program. Anyway, the overall of that is a reduction of about $18 million from the original amount that we had in the budget, I believe was around $81 million. And then of course the last is the all other. It's just kind of everything else that we bring forward for adjustment. The net, again, fairly small amount of $670,000 of general fund need. There, many of these, or most all of these, you saw in the April rebalance. It was just basically adjusting this 709 budget accordingly for that. I guess I'll just open up for questions if you have any on those. There's not really any that are.
Okay.
So basically, that's a department overview summary of our 2007-09 Governor's Recommended Budget Reshoot for the Department of Human Services.
Further questions? Very
much.
You got to give Dr. Goldberg and something to get away very easy. Thank you.
Well, I didn't say anything to you. That's why I went so quick.
That's true. Mr. Whitten.
Madam Chair, at this point in time, we'd like to have you open a work session on House Bill 5038. The Office of Private Health Partnerships. Members, I have additional copies of the bill, House Bill 5038. I also have additional copies of the memo that I handed out last Thursday and emailed to you on Friday. Does anyone need a copy of that? Would anyone like a copy of the bill? It's okay.
It's gone over that sufficiently.
All right. If you would, please, would you turn to the second full page, which is a spreadsheet. It looks like this.
Just in case there's some questions. Mr. King, why don't you join us in the event there are questions?
Yes. Okay. This is a spreadsheet that you have already seen at least twice before, at least the top part that goes to line 14, which is the governor's recommended budget. You can see the three different program areas of this budget. One is the IEO, or Information, Education, and Outreach budget. In the governor's recommended budget, it totaled about $591,000. $462,000 was general fund, and that is the essential budget level. The Family Health Insurance Assistance Program is the second piece there, lines 4 through 9. And you can see the governor's recommended budget included several changes to the essential budget level. It included a 10% reduction in package 090, $2.7 million general fund, $5.9 million of other funds. It added one position in package 104. The agency indicated in its presentation that it would fund that internally within its current budget. It removed empty limitation in package 070, that is on line 7. By empty limitation, I mean removing limitation that is not supported with actual revenue. It made the Family Health Insurance Assistance Program consistent with the Healthy Kids Package 101 by adding a bit of new tobacco tax, $352,000. And you can see again on line 9 the governor's recommended budget for the Family Health Insurance Assistance Program. Lines 10 through 12 show the addition of the package of Package 101, the Healthy Kids Plan, about $22.3 million of new tobacco tax limitation, along with federal funds that come from the Department of Human Services, $22.5 million, 47 positions, 39.7 FTE for that particular package. Down below, you can see LFO adjustments. I have three recommendations or three adjustments to recommend with respect to this budget. The first is on line 16. The co-chairs are recommending adding back the 10% reduction in the Family Health Insurance Assistance Program, and that would mean that about 3,057 additional Oregonians would be served each month by that addition. Total funds, about $8.5 million. Line 17 is the removal of expenditure limitation associated with the Healthy Kids Plan, almost $46 million total funds, 47 positions, 39.7 FTE. And I need to tell you that if some version of Healthy Kids ultimately passes the legislature, that the limitation can either be added in a close of session bill, or it can be added by the emergency fund or the emergency board during the interim, or it could be added by the assembly next February. That's a possibility as well. And finally, on line 18, I'm recommending to use some available ending balance, other funds ending balance, to replace $1.5 million of general fund. So those are the three changes that I'm recommending to the governor's budget with respect to the Office of Private Health Partnerships.
Questions? How many were kids? Thank you, Madam Chair. How many again were the kids under FEOP added and served with the additional 3,057? 3,057. Right. Okay. Thank you. Further questions? Madam Chair, I would... we don't have any conceptual amendments yet. Yes.
Madam Chair and Representative Boone, on the back page or the back side of that page, I have written out a conceptual amendment to House Bill 5038. Section 1 is the general fund appropriation, $25,024,831. Section 2 is one other funds limitation of $1,628,875. These are miscellaneous other funds. Finally, Section 3 is the amount from the Department of Human Services. These are actually federal funds, both Medicaid and Children's Health Insurance Program monies coming from DHS, $55,607,376.
Questions on the conceptual amendment? Question of Booth. Madam Chair, I would move the conceptual amendment to Bill 5038 be adopted. Representative Boone moves that the conceptual amendment to House Bill 5038 be adopted. Any questions to your motion? Any questions to the motion? So moved. Representative Boone?
Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 5038.
Did I even say that?
Yes. As amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Boone, this conceptual amendment, House Bill to House Bill 5038 to the full committee with a due pass recommendations. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair and members, the only other change that I would recommend to you all has to do with key performance measurements. The agency, when they gave their presentation, reviewed all of their performance measures. There were some that were to be deleted, and you can see those on the page, the last page of the memorandum that I gave to you. The proposed deletions were the number of agency referral or agent referrals, training sessions held, children's group plans, certified business plans, and finally FEOP eligible, the percent of those that are declared eligible who actually sign up for a plan. Those, the agency can continue to track, but as far as formal performance measures, we are recommending that they be deleted. The four performance measures that we are recommending be continued are at the top of the page, the number of stakeholders trained. And I noted in my memo that the actual results for this performance measurement vastly exceeded the targets. But when I talked to the agency about this, they indicated that they would be doing less training for now and that the targets of 1,500 for 2008 and 2009 were appropriate. So we're not recommending a change to that. The second one is the FEOP administration percentage. The targets are 9% for both 2008 and 2009. We recommend that you continue with that particular measure and those targets. The number of FEOP enrollees is the third performance measure, and the targets for 2008 and 2009 are 17,500. The target for 2007, which is not on here, was about 17,200, and the agency has requested that it be increased to 20,000 to reflect the additional budget that you just approved.
Does the number of organs enrolled in the Family Health Insurance Plan include both group or is that just individual?
Madam Chair and Senator Winters, it includes both.
It includes both?
Yes.
Because I know that there was a distinct difference in the amount of time, work, and effort between the individual plan. Isn't that going to yield to Brock again in the group? And so the numbers, I think the numbers are different. I would think it's a lot easier to get the individual plans completed than it is the group plan. And so it's kind of putting apples and oranges together in one performance measure rather than having a distinction between the two.
So, Senator, are your comments to the degree that you think there should be a separation between those measurements?
I do.
Madam Chair, Senator Winters, for the record, my name is Rocky King. I'm the administrator for the Office of Private Health Partnerships, which administers the FEOP program. Let me just talk about philosophy real quick. It has always been our philosophy to keep group open. That's we want because it's the hardest to get. It's the best bang for the buck. We never want to fill up the program with individual policies that would force us to be in a position of closing group. I believe, and I'm talking off the top of my head here, about a third of our members are group. I believe it's about a third of our members are group. We will continue to keep that and let that edge up. But in terms of two different targets, given that we're focused on to get group anytime we can, I'm not sure it would help us to have two different targets. It's always been, I think, the policy of the legislature to move in that direction. The biggest need is individual, but it's also the most costly.
Just a follow-up comment. I think sometimes that this body needs to know the difficulty that one has in order to penetrate that market. Because when we look at you, we just look at the raw numbers and we don't look at the amount of time, effort, and how nor do we provide you with the resources that are necessary. And that's my reason for thinking that perhaps if they were separate, at least it gives us a broader view and broader understanding of what you're faced with.
Representative Kotek?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would
agree with Senator Winter's comments. I think my challenge with the number three performance measure there is that I'm not sure what it tells us. I know one of the things we're trying to do with performance measures is move them in a way that we're achieving something. And this just gives us a raw number of how many people are on the program. Number of what? Number compared to what? What's our goal here? Do we have a goal to have a greater percentage of all of our folks in group? And is that the target we're shooting for financial reasons? Is that challenging because individual is easier? So this just leaves a lot of questions, and I'm not sure it tells us a whole lot. You can say we've reached a number, but I don't know what that number means in the grand universe.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll just as a friendly response to Representative Kotek, it tells me that this program that I admire Rocky so much for all he's done and how well he does his job, but it tells me that there are 17,500 people who are making the effort to be part of their state assistance, and this is the group of people we often don't pay a lot of attention to. They're working people, but they don't get these benefits with their job, but they want to make a contribution to their family's benefits, and this is a way they can do that with a little bit of help.
And I absolutely agree with that. It's just that I can find this number by going to the website and knowing how many people enrolled. I mean, to me, it's an output, not an outcome, and so that's what I'm trying to get at is what percentage of working families is this, or what number, because I agree with you. I think it's a good number. We know how many people are on the program, but it's more of an output than an outcome. So.
Madam Chair, if I may, when the legislation first passed creating FEOP, you directed us to commit about 50% of our resources to group coverage, and the other 50% to the individual market. That 50% of resources would have been twice as many people in group than individual because it was kind of money-focused, not people-focused. The reality was we couldn't get to 50% resources, and I think in 1999 you changed the law to require that. To say, to emphasize group. I think that you are correct, and Senator Winters, Representative Kotek, and we'd be happy to work with LFO. I don't know if you want to do that for this budget, but in really laying out over this coming months, especially when we get into healthy kids and we come back, maybe for some discussion on that, we can throw in some discussion about what we're trying to do with group, what the barriers are, what we would be happy with, what would be the outcome if we were to double the group size, and the impact on the individual market, how many people then would we be able to serve. We can do that for you. And I agree with you, it is an output, but it is also a And it's the pieces inside that lead to that I think are the most important.
But there is also a projection for the 079, which is up to 20,000.
That's correct, Madam Chair, and that's based on the action you just took today.
Exactly. Representative Nathan, oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to follow along with the previous questions and comments that have been made, and pursue key performance measure number one for just a moment, which is the number of stakeholders trained. That's also an activity measure. If I look back at the agency's mission, it's what was the point of the training? It says here to encourage and assist Oregon small businesses and consumers in making informed health insurance choices by providing outreach and education and so forth. So what I'm wondering is out of trying to reach 1,500 insurance agents, community partners, and stakeholders, that many people participated in some sort of a training program, but what did they get out of it? Did people actually make better choices, more informed choices? Did more people enroll? And I'm going to say something, it's going to be outrageous, but it's just a hypothetical. If we didn't have any of those training sessions, would we have enrolled the same number of people? My guess is no, of course we would not have. But what does it take with the training sessions to either enroll more or make better choices? So that's another one where I'd like some thought given for the future. What what was the benefit of all of that activity and all of those training sessions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of thoughts. One is that the agency can track all of this with respect to group and individual, and they have been, and they presented that information to you. Also, with response to you, Representative Nathanson, one measure that we proposed deleting as a key measure was agency referrals. The number of referrals made to insurance agents involved in the agency referral program. I mean, that was more perhaps of an outcome. What I would suggest is that we can relook at these performance measures. We can have the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, as they did this past review these measures. In particular, it sounds like Measure 3 and also Measure 1. Is that a reasonable language to include in the budget report?
Thank you. That makes sense to me, because I also thought I heard in Mr. King's statements that one of the things you will be doing less of is training with stakeholders. Did I hear that correctly?
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, if you look at the previous 2 years, I think it was 04 and 05, we did between an average of about 1,400 agents and stakeholders, and that can be Head Start workers, that can be rural health clinic nurses. It's just a variety of folks. For whatever reason, everything clicked last year, and we did, I think, about 3,600 for the year. And some of that has to do with you hold an event in a community, and all of a sudden you get 150 people rather than 50 people. So you don't. Oh, it isn't always controlled by how many events we give. It's just by the interest in the different programs. So we think that was unusual. We want to get back to where I think our average has been, given the resources, which is around 1,500, which was the previous 2 years, not counting 2006.
Senator Marsha.
Well, if you wait long enough, all the questions are answered. Thank you. That's fine. Thank you.
Mr. Whitner, for the comments.
Thank you.
Just to see if it is the subcommittee's pleasure to put that kind of language, that is, to review performance measures 1 and 3 with the Joint Legislative Audit Committee during the interim, put that language into the budget report for this particular bill, for House Bill 5038. Is that your pleasure?
It is the pleasure of the committee. May I just add, in the sense that your point is well taken, Representative Nathanson, but when you talk about the mission to encourage and assist Oregon small businesses and consumers in making informed health insurance choices, that's going to always be an activity, and the outcome of that activity is one that how many did they train, so you can't get around the number, and I would hate for Mr. King to come back here and say in an 18-month period of time that he had this as a goal and as a training tool, and he only trained 400 people. I'd be asking, what's wrong with you? Because you're not using the activity. You're not making things happen in a way that would allow you to do this training. I can see this training number going down because it's a diminishing return. How many companies are going to be interested? He might have reached that top point in terms of the training exercise itself. And since they first got started, that's why this number is like this, because he had such a big field, a statewide field to try to do. And I think that we should wait for the diminishing return, but I am totally open to what the committee wants to do. Please know that completely. The other thing, I think, just like when Rocky proposed the ones at the bottom, agent referrals. He's just about reached all the agents now, and he said this is no longer appropriate. And I think that that's the sense that I get, that as these key markers become fulfilled, you let them drop and create others. And I'd like to hear your comment on that.
Well, Madam Chair, for example, on the age of referrals, it's not that it is important. It's a very key activity. Business owners, individuals call us and say, we need assistance in getting health insurance. Now, if it's people that are low income, eligible for the CHIP program, or Medicaid, we try to steer them in that direction. But generally, the more people call us that have resources, they're just trying to figure out how to get through the health care matrix of private health insurance, we will tie them up with people in their local communities. It's just another activity that kind of comes from the training, really, because any agent, for example, that's going to receive a referral from us has to be certified. They have to go through our training. And the training isn't FEOP. Just FEOP, I should say. It's FEOP. It's the high-risk pool. It's the Children's Health Insurance Program. It's Medicaid eligibility. It's insurance market reforms. It's the group market. We try to do an array of training. One of the most successful training things we've ever had, I should tell you, was when we brought DHS local staff, for example, in Pendleton, put them in an office with 8 insurance agents, and we trained commercial and social health insurance programs together, and all of a sudden, people in the community were saying, you know, people come in and ask us all the time for health insurance. They don't qualify. We don't know who to call in our community. Or people in the agent community, somebody comes in, they're obviously disabled or have some issue that income or physical that doesn't allow them to get health insurance. Those agents, knowing the Children's Health Insurance Program, Medicaid eligibility, or senior in service disability programs, we found was just really important. And so we continue to track those things, but they really get back to that number, unfortunately, of how many people do we get out there and tell the story to.
We're going to need that number also. If the Healthy Kids plan comes back, he's going to have to gear up to another marketing strategy. And you're going to get numbers again. Now, with that in mind, do you want a budget note?
Madam Chair, I recommended that we do include the budget note. That was so eloquently stated by Mr. Britton.
Okay. Could you read it?
Madam Chair and Senator Winters, we can include language in the budget report. I'm not sure we're going to include just some language to have the agency work with LFO and the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to look at these measures, in particular number 1 and 3. Those are the ones that we've gotten comments on today.
Representative Gore?
And just to support John in those 2 areas that you just mentioned.
Great. Yeah. All right. Consider it done. So the discussion.
I just want to say on the customer service piece, I am a real champion of this program, and I tell people about it when I get asked what to do. This woman was talking about going. I recommend that they call your office or now an agency. But everybody who has called in has been very pleased with how they've been treated and the information received, and the fact that somebody could actually answer their questions and in most cases hook them up with something. So thank. Thank you very much.
You. There you go with your customer service. Further comments? Okay. I'm going to adopt these.
Why don't we go ahead and adopt these performance measurements with the proviso that we'll revisit 1 and 3.
Correction again.
Madam Chair, I would move that the committee adopt the performance measures as outlined and with the recommendation that we revisit 1 and 3.
Representative Boone moves that we adopt the legislatively adopted key measures and with the proviso that we will look at measures 1 and 3. Are there any objections? So ordered. Any further comments for the good of the order? Committee discussion. Thank you.